We are WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit, your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 689.
This is Radio Ballady, broadcast every Friday here at WNZK Radio, 690 AM, hosted by syndicated columnist Ray Hanania and Layla Al-Husseini. Get information on show guests and topics by visiting RadioBaladi.com. We want to hear your views. Call in during the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Baladi.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. Our number is 248-557-3300. It's the new year, January 4th, and, you know, Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everybody had a great new year. Secular new year, of course. Not everybody views this as the new year, but it is a new year in terms of our calendar. January 4th, Friday, here at Radio Ballady. Our website is RadioBallady.com. Radio Ballady is brought to you by Zed Brothers Importing at Zed.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of Stephen Lagana at laganalaw.com, and the law offices of Jumana K. Ruse at jumanakruse.com. We also want to thank our partners, including MC Gold TV, Sabil Media, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, great magazine. You should be subscribing to it. If you have any self-respect as an Arab or a Muslim, listen, you buy the Detroit News, the Detroit Free Press, Time Magazine. That you should stop immediately, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So you should be buying an Arab national magazine, the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Go to their website at wrmea.org, Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, wrmea.org, and also the Dearborn Free Press. So thank you. We're going to be talking about that whole Time magazine, Time Warner issue. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you even watch a station called Current TV. Now, Current TV was set up by the former vice president of the United States called Al Gore. You know Al Gore. Nice guy. And this isn't about politics. This is about after leaving office, he decided he was going to try to make a difference, and he came up with a somewhat liberal TV station that focused on young people, and its purpose was to educate them about issues that were being ignored by the mainstream media. And of course, being Arab, we know there are a lot of those issues. So it did very well, and I think it's been around for, geez, maybe 7 years, maybe as many as 10 years. I'd have to look. It certainly has been around you know, for a while, and has been very popular, picked up by every cable TV station. This week, Al Jazeera purchased Current TV for $500 million. It was actually relatively small. I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not that big. And Current TV broadcasts into 40 million American households in the United States. Current TV broadcasts into 40 million TV sets around the United States. And all of a sudden, Time Warner, one of the cable networks that is included among those cable-ready living rooms and TV sets, announced the day after it was announced that Al Jazeera is purchasing Current TV, Time Warner, which is a history of anti-Arab and anti-Muslim racism, especially Time magazine, which is one of the most viciously anti-Arab magazines in the United States. They announced that they were going to drop Current TV from their lineup, so you won't be able to watch Current TV because it's owned now by Al Jazeera. And of course, as you know what the controversy is with Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, now, there are two issues. One is we could talk about Al Jazeera's coverage of the Middle East and how the Arab world is divided on whether it's objective or not. But that's one issue. And whether that's true or not, is we can discuss that forever. But set that aside. Let's assume what Americans assume. Let's assume what Time Warner assumes, okay? Time Warner assumes what many American pundits assume, that Al Jazeera is an Arab terrorist network. That's how they describe Al Jazeera. Sean Hannity, you know, all of them. Rush Limbaugh, you know, I don't even want to mention their names because it's like swearing. Just saying their names, Glenn Beck, you know, they're four-letter words. They're horrible. These are the biggest racists in America. And they hate Arabs and they hate Muslims. And, oh, my God, Al Jazeera is a terrorist network, according to them. Now, what's really fascinating, of course, is Al Jazeera, from the standpoint of Americans, presents the news that the biased mainstream American news media doesn't want to present. They don't report on it. The mainstream American media doesn't write the truth about what's happening in Palestine. It doesn't refer to the apartheid-like policies of Israel. It doesn't allow the heavy criticism of Israel that's allowed for every other foreign country. You know, you can seriously criticize any foreign country except Israel. When you criticize Israel, you got to walk on eggshells. You know, because they're going to say bad things about you. God forbid that they'd criticize Israel in the United States, right? You know, Israel is like the 51st state of the United States. Its lobby, AIPAC, has a headlock on the U.S. Congress. We're on American minds. They brainwashed us. You're not even allowed to think what's true and what's not true. That's the truth. So Al Jazeera steps up to the plate, what, 14 years ago or whatever it is, and they start offering an alternative to the news reporting that you are fed about Israel and the Middle East. And all of Israel's buddies and pals and lobbyists go berserk. So they ban Al Jazeera from all the cable networks. When it first came out, they banned it. You could not watch Al Jazeera on a cable TV program. Time Warner was the first to announce that they were going to boycott Al Jazeera because it was an Arab network. And, of course, the implication is that it's a Muslim network, and the implication in that is that it's a terrorist network. So they banned it. They refused to put it on. And then a few years later, maybe about 5 years later, the Internet really opened up. This is about 10 years ago. It really opened up, and you could go online and watch Al Jazeera online. They made it free. And I still think you could go online on your computer and watch Al Jazeera. But now you don't have to, because now satellite dish networks have offered Al Jazeera and other Middle East and Arab and Muslim TV satellite stations are being broadcast to homes all over through the dish network, not landline cables like Time Warner. So they allowed a 30-minute broadcast of Al Jazeera. You know, some of the cable stations, they allow some news, but they don't allow the reporting. And what I mean by that, you know, you get to see the 30-minute news program on, that Al Jazeera does. Here's the top headlines from around the world. That dilutes the amount of time that they spend on Israel and Palestine and the Arab world. They talk about everything. They talk about soccer. They talk about politics in Europe. They talk about everything. So that 30-minute segment that they allow Al Jazeera to broadcast on your cable, now that you see, and they go, oh, well, we don't discriminate against Arabs and Muslims. We allow Al Jazeera on. No, that's not what they do. They banned it. Now, you could go on any cable station and watch Shalom TV, the pro-Israel, anti-Arab network that really twists all the facts. Those you can watch all you want. 24/7. That's okay, right? But not 30 minutes of Al Jazeera. That's the most we'll allow. And they don't allow the really significant investigative pieces that are broadcast on Al Jazeera. That's what they don't allow. They don't allow those investigative pieces to be broadcast because they show the side of Israel discriminating against Arabs and Muslims. And, of course, they don't want to do that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, this morning. And I think what we'll do, though, right now is take a break here at 10 minutes after the hour at Radio Ballady. We'll do our first break. When we come back, hopefully we will have Ali Younis, who'll join us to talk about this whole thing with Time Warner. And believe me, Time Warner is the first. This just happened. All of the cable networks are going to drop current TV. And you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. I mean, what do? Are we really weaklings? Are we defenseless? We can't stand up. So we're going to talk about that this morning on Radio Ballady. And I want to hear what you have to say about it. Maybe you don't like Al Jazeera and you don't want it. Maybe you don't care, you know, that Time Warner is racist and discriminatory, or that Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and the other swear words like Rush Limbaugh think that we're racist. And or hate us because they're racist. You know, maybe you feel that way. You can call in 248-557-3300. I mean, there is a debate about Al Jazeera in the American Arab community, just like there is in the Arab world. There's Al Arabiya News Network, too. Al Arabiya News Network runs my columns that are published in the Saudi Gazette. And there is a debate. I see it all the time. But that's separate. I mean, if we want to get caught up in that debate, oh, Al Jazeera is unfair to one country or another, we're making a big mistake, because that's what racists do, divide and conquer. They allow us to fight with each other, and they hate us both. They hate both sides of our argument. We might like Al Jazeera, we may not like Al Jazeera. They don't like either of us, the people that like Al Jazeera, and they don't like the people that dislike Al Jazeera. It doesn't matter about what Al Jazeera is writing about the Arab world. All that matters to the people at Time Warner is what it's reporting about Israel and what it reports about the truth, about what the United States has done in Iraq and Pakistan and all the raids and the killings, the extrajudicial killings where you murder somebody without a trial. Those aren't acts of terrorism, folks, right? Yeah, that's what they want you to think. And you know what? Maybe they aren't. But I'll tell you what, shouldn't we be allowed to discuss and debate it publicly and really have an open-air discussion about all these issues? That's what is the crime. The fact that they don't allow us to openly talk about all these issues. 248-557-3300. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about Time Warner and Al Jazeera, and we're waiting for our guests to join us so that we can discuss whether the decision by Time Warner Cable to drop current TV was an act of discrimination. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. Give us a buzz at 248-557-3300. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Ali Younis about Time Warner and current TV. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour. We're broadcast every Friday on WNZK AM 690 radio. Same time every week on Friday. Today is January 4th, and you can go online and check out our guests and also contact us and get information and even download the podcast of past shows by visiting RadioBallady.com. Before I turn to Ali Younes, a great columnist with Al Arabiya, I want to just take note of the fact of the passing this week of Mariana Kay Ciblani. Kay Ciblani, of course, in Detroit was well known, but she was also well known around the country as a great journalist. She was American, married to another great Arab American, Osama Ciblani, who's the publisher of the Arab American News. And Kay was the executive editor of the Arab American News for the last 28 years. And I remember when I first got into journalism, Kay reached out to me and wanted me to write for their new publication that was being published in based in Dearborn. And I was really excited because at the time, you know, we're talking 28 years ago, there weren't a lot of newspapers. So we kind of offer our condolences to the Ciblani family, to Kay Ciblani's daughter, Michelle, their grandchildren, her mother, all her whole family. I know that the National Arab American Journalists Association issued a statement, you know, commemorating this sad occasion. So we just take a minute to remember Kay Ciblani, the who just passed away this week, the executive editor of one of the newspapers in the American Arab community and a longtime member of the National Arab American Journalists Association. Let's turn right now then to my friend Ali Younes, who's a columnist with Al Arabiya. Ali, how are you and good morning?
I'm good. How are you, Ray?
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We were talking about this decision. It was kind of interesting but not unexpected given the history of cable refusal to broadcast Al Jazeera. But the decision by Al Jazeera to buy Current TV that was set up and owned by Al Gore, I think about 10 years ago, it was a great program. I watched it a lot. Very liberal, very focused on all the different issues that Al Gore stood for. And now it was bought for $500 million by Al Jazeera. And the day it was announced, Time Warner Cable announced that it was dropping Current TV, not at the end of their contract, dropping it immediately. In some areas, you can't even see Current TV now, but they now claim, as soon as people like me and others started screaming bigotry and bias and discrimination, they're now saying they're going to think about whether they're going to let it stay on the air. What is this all about? Did Current TV put a kafia on its head all of a sudden and swear allegiance to, you know, Islam and, you know, suddenly, you know, go to the mosque and all of a sudden nobody wants it? Or is its programming bad? I mean, what provoked, do you think, Time Warner to drop Current TV?
Well, there are many theories, of course, as to what provoked Time Warner to drop Current TV. Legally, I mean, they have a clause in the contract with Current TV that in the event that Current TV changed ownership, it permits Time Warner to drop terminate the agreement between Current TV and Time Warner, and that's what happened.
Right.
The surface of it, you know, Time Warner is covered legally. But, you know, there are many, you know, allegations that Time Warner, it was a parent company of CNN and Time Magazine. It's a corporate giant. So they probably behaved, the allegations says, that they behaved as a corporate backlash against Al Jazeera entering into the American market. You know, as you know, Al Jazeera is not bound by, you know, business, you know, concepts and business dealings as far as commercials and advertising. So it's not subject to the marketplace, you know, upheavals, whether the stock go up or go down.
Right.
It's financed and owned by the government of Qatar.
Right.
Which insulates Al Jazeera from the market, ups and downs.
Don't we wish every TV station was like that, though?
Well,
rather that it's not that news wasn't under the thumb of corporations and businesses in the United States that, you know, influence it. I mean, wasn't that a good thing that Al Jazeera? I mean, it is controlled by a government. So what? They're going to promote Qatar in the United States? Who cares? Do you think Americans care about Qatar?
You know, many Americans don't even know what Qatar is.
Right. They can't even pronounce it.
Yes. But, you know, for a news organization to be owned by a government, it's equally troubling.
Yeah, it is. But is it more troubling than the issue of that the real issue was that this is about the fact that it's the face of the Arab world, whether it is or not? Because before you came on, I was talking about how Arabs are divided on Al Jazeera. Some like it, some dislike it, some think it's fair, some think it's biased. You know, it has the same challenges that many media in the United States have. But the timing, Time Warner immediately announces that they're going to drop it. And I'm not asking you to bash, you know, Time Warner, but just the event, it seems like it was poor policy on Time Warner's part. If they were having problems with current TV, why not have said that before, that we're thinking of dropping them?
Well, in my opinion, the bigger issue is Al Jazeera entering into the American market.
Right.
And Time Warner have said that they are open-minded to have a new relation with Al Jazeera America, the new company.
Right.
Current TV will be renamed Al Jazeera America. So that means that we'll have to negotiate a bigger contract, maybe bigger money for Time Warner to carry Al Jazeera. But I think we have to distinguish here between two things.
Right.
Al Jazeera Arabic, the one we watch at home, is
right.
one thing, and Al Jazeera English is another. Two different animals here. Al Jazeera America will be a separate channel, a third channel. It will not be Al Jazeera English Doha, and it will not be Al Jazeera Arabic Doha.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. I understand that. There are two channels. I watch Al Jazeera English. My Arabic isn't that good, but I try to watch Al Jazeera Arabic, and I, you know, obviously, like most Americans, you know, we don't understand everything that's being said, but what's the difference between that and any other foreign program? There are a lot of Israeli programs broadcast 24/7 in English and in Hebrew, and other countries too. But what difference does it make? Shouldn't it be up to the market to decide whether a program is suitable for the public rather than somebody like Time Warner saying, hey, we don't want to broadcast Al Jazeera, because as you know, Al Jazeera came in, what, 14 years ago or whatever it was, or more, and as soon as it came on, every cable network announced that they were refusing to broadcast Al Jazeera. They would not include it in the lineup. In fact, it took 10 years before Al Jazeera was able to get a 30-minute news segment broadcast on cable, like on Comcast in Chicago. And maybe Time Warner. But the point is that history there exists, doesn't it? That they didn't want it, that there's discrimination against Arabs and Muslims. I mean, is it really that possible that it's a business decision and not racism?
Well, for Time Warner, I can't say exactly it is racism, because Time Warner, you know, they look at things not from ideological perspective. Although, if there was a receptive environment in the United States toward Al Jazeera, I think they would have thought again about their decision. But the crux of the matter is that the environment in the United States, the political environment in the United States, is not receptive for a network such as Al Jazeera, as it would not be receptive to a Chinese network that would be broadcasting Chinese programming here in the United States and would have access to all American audience. Although there is CCTV, is a China TV in English.
Right.
Here in the United States.
Right. But why can't we have Al Jazeera in English? Why can't we have Al Arabiya in English on regular cable? Why do I have to, you know, every Arab is forced to buy a double subscription. I have to have cable TV to get regular news programming, and then I have to go out and buy Dish Network so I can get satellite TV, you know, on top of it so I can see what's going on in the Middle East. It just seems that it's not about Al Jazeera. It's about Arabs and Muslims. They don't want us. They don't want to hear what we have to say. I mean, do you think, Al, let's go to the issue of bias. Do you think Al Jazeera, is there a legitimate debate in the Arab community about whether Al Jazeera is objective or not?
Of course, there's a huge debate whether they're objective or not. And, I mean, there's no doubt about it that Al Jazeera obviously is not objective when it comes to certain issues, such as the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, such as the Syrian conflict, such as the Lebanese conflict, such as the war in Iraq.
Right.
The coverage of those stories were totally biased toward, you know, Palestinians, the Syrian rebels.
Is that any different, though, than the bias toward Israel in the mainstream American media and by Israeli TV? You know, Shalom TV. You ever watch it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Pro-Israeli garbage bashing you and me, you know, as Arabs and Muslims. They hate us, you know, but that's okay.
But you see, the problem with Americans stems from Al Jazeera airing bin Laden tapes. Al Jazeera covers the war in Iraq, even though the state of Qatar, the one that owns Al Jazeera,
right,
war in Iraq happened from Qatar itself. Quarters of the Central Command in Qatar. And Doha.
Right. So the country that owns Al Jazeera was helping us in the war against Iraq. I mean, you know, we could find a reason why we like them, and we could find a reason we don't like them. It just seems too, you know, suspicious to me. And should we, as Arab Americans, do you think, Ali, should we be suspicious? Should we be looking at these cable TV stations and saying, wait a minute, you really don't care about us. All you care about is whether the news criticizes a country like Israel or not, or challenges the things that you feel... You know, when I criticize these networks, am I being too narrow by saying it's about Israel and the pro, Israel lobby, that issue is the most important?
You have a point there. I mean, there is a lot of racism and bias against Arabs and Muslims and Arab Americans in this country. I mean, it's a fact of life that everybody has to live it and work with it and navigate around it, and a lot of times should fight it as well. I don't think that Al Jazeera English America or Al Jazeera English is necessarily an Arab network that represents my views.
Right.
You know, they don't represent Arab.
But I bet Joe countryman, you know, in the suburbs of Chicago, you know, or Ricky the American, I think they do think that. I think they do think that Al Jazeera represents your views. Do you know what I mean? Because you're Arab and Muslim. Even though the truth is, you know, if we were to get past this, the truth is we'd have a healthy debate about whether Al Jazeera is fair or objective. And as you say, they are biased when it comes to certain stories. We know that. But why are they different from NBC News, which is owned by, you know, ComEd or the electrical company?
Yes. I mean, Al Jazeera, I mean,
General Electric.
They're saying that we are against the dictatorships, against the Arab regimes. We're pro-democracy. We are pro the Arab Spring. That is Al Jazeera Arabic. Al Jazeera English, you know, in all fairness, it has more Western tilt to it. That is, they want to be more fair. They want to be more balanced in accordance with, you know, Western standards of what's fair and what's balanced, what objective, whatever that is, you know, because all these things mean different things to different people, you know. But in my opinion, neither Al Jazeera Arabic nor Al Jazeera English and Al Jazeera America will be representative of the Arab causes per se, but they will be representative, for the government of Qatar. In that sense, what I mean by that they will give And I think this decision is not business. I mean, Qatar is not looking for advertising money in America.
Right.
Looking for to compete with CBS and ABC and NBC News. What they're looking for is to get leverage, to get presence in American market. And Al Jazeera has programming in Bosnia. I mean, another
channel
in Eastern Europe that airs in Slavic languages, in Bosnian Croatian languages. And so it gives the government of Qatar leverage around the world and power.
Right.
That's the heart of the matter. It isn't a business decision. It's not even a media decision, in my opinion. But what it gives them a presence in American market. If they have 12% share of American market or 20% or 10%, that's a lot of power. And this power will be translated into negotiation, a leverage with the Emir of Qatar to change things in the Middle East or to sway American policy. I mean, Americans are not stupid. The American government is not stupid. They know why the government of Qatar is utilizing the media to advance its own interests. And that's legitimate. I mean, that's a peaceful means. It's not terrorism.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why don't we as Americans live by the principle that we claim we live by, that we want to hear everyone's views, and we are smart enough. In other words, Ali, you and I are intelligent enough to, when we watch a report, we can tell whether it's biased or not. We can tell when we hear all the reports whether a news station leaves out facts. In other words, you and I are intelligent. The American people are intelligent. Why don't the news cable stations provide everything? I want to watch everything. If I don't like something, I'm not going to watch it. But they don't believe that that's enough. They think we have to stop Al Jazeera. Ali, before you answer that, just take a minute to think about it, because we're going to take another break. I think we have two more breaks that we're going to run. And let's run our second break. And when we come back, we can kind of pick that up a little bit. I mean, why not just have the principle of journalism, you know, apply, whether it's founded, you know, whether the journalism entity is owned by a government or a major multinational corporation like General Electric. What's the difference? I think General Electric is more dangerous to the American people than the country of Qatar. But let's take a break. You're listening to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. It's 32 minutes after the top of the hour. You can listen to us live, remember, online at radioballady.com. Or you can go there and download our podcasts, which are on iTunes, and get a huge amount of traffic, by the way. So you want to jump in and download those podcasts if you haven't listened to the radio show. On the line with me is Ali Younes, a award-winning columnist with Al Arabiya Network. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
في عالم اليوم أمور كثيرة تثير قلقنا. التأمين الصحي يجب أن لا يكون أحدها. نتفهم أن الحصول على أفضل تأمين صحي وفهم تعقيداته ربما يكون مربكا مقلقا ويترك العديد من الأسئلة التي تحتاج إلى إجابة عديدة. الحل بسيط جدا، يكمن باتصال واحد من أقرب هاتف لديكم بـ HiCab، البرنامج المعد من قبل ولاية ميشيغان لمساعدة المستهلك. هذه الخدمة مجانية تساعدك على فهم أساسية التأمين الصحي، اختيار البرنامج الأفضل للتغطية الطبية، وفهم حقوقك التي تكفلها ولاية ميشيغان في مجال الرعاية الصحية، وأيضا في أي نزاع بينك وبين شركة التأمين الحالية لديكم. في اقتصاد اليوم التأمين الصحي أكثر أهمية من أي وقت مضى لك ولعائلتك. اتصلوا بهايكاب على 1-877-999-6442 أو عن طريق الإنترنت بالضغط على michigan.gov/highcab. توقف عن القلق، هايكاب لديهم كل الأجابات حول التأمين الصحي الخاص بك. 877-999-6442.
This program is paid for with federal funds.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf, all tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Z-Ed food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Z-Ed Brothers Importing online at www.zed.com. Z-Ed offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
يعلم اليوم أمور كثيرة تثير قلقنا. التأمين الصحي يجب أن لا يكون أحدها. نتفهم أن الحصول على أفضل تأمين صحي وفهم تعقيداته ربما يكون مربكا مقلقا ويترك العديد من الأسئلة التي تحتاج إلى إجابة عديدة. الحل بسيط جدا، يكمن باتصال واحد من أقرب هاتف لديكم بهاي كاب، البرنامج المعد من قبل ولاية ميشيغان لمساعدة المستهلك. هذه الخدمة مجانية تساعدك على فهم أساسية التأمين الصحي، اختيار البرنامج الأفضل للتغطية الطبية، وفهم حقوقك التي تكفلها ولاية ميشيغان في مجال الرعاية الصحية، وأيضا في أي نزاع بينك وبين شركة التأمين الحالية لديكم. اقتصاد اليوم، التأمين الصحي أكثر أهمية من أي وقت مضى لك ولعائلتك. اتصلوا بهاي كاب على 1-877-999-6442 أو عن طريق الإنترنت بالضغط على michigan.gov/highcab. توقف عن القلق، هاي كاب لديهم كل الأجابات حول التأمين الصحي الخاص بك. 877-999-6442.
This program is paid for with federal funds.
And doesn't Leila El Husseini have a great voice? She does the ad for us for High Cap. And we have one more break that we'll be doing at about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. We're on the line with a good friend of mine, somebody I really respect. He knows how to write. He's very reasoned, much more level-headed than I am, you know, being the screaming Arab from Chicago. Ella Yunus is centrist, moderate, you know, and level-headed. Even though I worked as hard as possible to get him on my side, you know, on my screaming side of fanaticism and extremism. So, Ali, welcome to the radio show this morning.
Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you. You're always you're a beacon for all of us, you know, who work in the media. I mean, you lighted our ways and roads throughout the years in Chicago and how to be a fanatic in the Arab.
That makes me sound so old.
Well, no, truly, Ray. I mean, it's your work that enabled a lot of younger journalists in Chicago and the Arab community and around the country that they should be involved in the media and defend the Arab American issues and defend our causes, whether here or back home, because to defend those, you defend your own existence. And in this country, it is allowed to do that. You could defend your causes, and whether it's a media cause, whether you fight for objectivity and freedom in the media and to present your own views. Of course, you don't want to dominate the news. That's not the goal, but you want to have your voice heard and to be treated equally, just like a next-door neighbor. I think that's right. The goal we share among other people that you know you work with, such as Leila Husseini and others in Dearborn, Michigan, in Chicago, and many around the country. And I think we should continue doing this, even though we're still the same people.
Yeah, I mean, listen, being in journalism, I don't know why. I have a theory why Arabs really didn't get into the media, because when, you know, our tradition in the Arab world is that the media didn't really exist when we were younger. So we were taught that the media was biased and government controlled. And in a way it is. And then we come to this country, and rather than getting involved in the media, we become doctors, lawyers, grocery store owners, you know, engineers, whatever. But we don't recognize the significance of the media. So when we finally get in, the media is stacked against us. I remember when I worked at the Chicago Sun-Times, they hated it when I would ask to write a column about the Middle East or the Palestinians. They really didn't like it. They hated it. But the worst part wasn't that, you know, I wanted the writer, you or others, you know, because you were also on the, you know, the cusp of, you know, this push to open up the media to the Arab and Muslim community. You're one of the better writers in the country. There are a few, Hussein Ibish, a number of them. We could count them on one or two hands. But the bigger challenge is the apathy of the Arab community. It's like they don't care. You know, they will buy.
Topic of my column. My next column would be, sorry, the difference between Arab Americans and Jewish Americans, and why Arab Americans are less involved in public debate, public issues, in politics and in the media. And I think that's critical as to why. I mean, Arab Americans are not poor. They're not a poor segment of the population. They are a very rich segment of the population economically. Yet this does not translate into power, into influence in the country. And when you don't have influence, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you will still be railroaded. Your causes will be railroaded. No one will respect you. And if you have a lot of power and influence in this country, and I think when Al Jazeera comes to the market, I think Time Warner or the politics or your congressman or your senator will take into consideration that the community has a lot of influence. You know, better not, you know, offend this community by rejecting the presence of Al Jazeera or Al something that coming into town. You know, and I think that's the heart of the matter, coupled with the, of course, racism and negative perception of the Arab world and the Muslim world and the Palestinian-Israeli issue. All these factors, like you said, stack the American society and the American corporate world against us. And what should we do about it is a key, and how going about it is a key in addressing these issues and to be more involved in American politics, in American media, in American public life, to engage in the debate, in a healthy debate between among ourselves and among the larger society. And, you know, and I think that's the only way to gain influence and access in this country, if we want to be respected in this country, and right, allow networks like Al Jazeera, who should represent our views and our view of the world, to be in the market. Whether Al Jazeera will do that or not, you know, I don't know, because I'm always suspicious of a network that is owned by an Arab government, any Arab government. You know,
right. And that's another debate. I mean, I think
the government.
I think that's a legitimate issue, but we're not even at that issue, though, because we can't even watch it. And I'm looking at Al Jazeera's English language website, and the top headline is not "Israel is a Zionist state and Jews rule the world." The top headline is "Chavez in Venezuela fights severe lung infection," and then underneath it, it's a deadly car bomb explodes in Damascus. Pakistan's Malala leaves the UK hospital. Fatah holds the first mass rally in Gaza in years, and massive protests against the government in Iraq. It seems to me that those issues, you know, are issues that Americans should be hearing a perspective on that's outside of the bigotry of what I perceive dominates the American media. And, you know, we could debate. I think you agree that the mainstream American media is biased against the Arabs and Muslims. Would you agree, or do you think I'm wrong on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, I agree, not necessarily because they are inherently biased, because they are racist inherently, because they believe in the white supremacy and the white power against Arabs.
Right. The reason, in other words, doesn't matter, but the fact is that they are. Let's go to the phone line at 248-557-3300 if you want to join our discussion with Ali Younis, who is a columnist with Al Arabiya Network, and I write for the Saudi Gazette. Let's say hello to Samir on line one. Hi, Samir, and thank you for calling.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just want to, you know, one point I want to make. We always blame others for our failures. Always, you know?
Yes, that's
the problem is in us. See how many parties there are in Lebanon. See how they're divided in Palestine. The problem is we're not united like the Jews are united.
Right.
I shouldn't know. Or the Zionists are united. I don't want to say Jews, because some Jews don't like Zionism anyway.
Right. And a lot of Jewish people support, you know, the same liberties and civil rights for Arabs and Muslims that we do. But, yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly.
But that's what I was saying, that even in this country, you know, remember I said we had a number of Arabs that are in journalism. The biggest problem is that our Arab community didn't care. They don't care about Arabs in journalism. So when Ali or I get into journalism, I should have been a doctor. If I was a doctor, people would love me. I'd be wealthy and rich. Instead, I'm a journalist, and everybody gets mad at me.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, if Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and all the Arab countries make unity, have unity, and have one decision, not everyone wants to make their own decision. You know, like, as Ali was saying, probably Qatar represents them, but it does not represent me, or vice versa.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm saying the Jazeera, Al Jazeera, or some other television, or some other radio station. You know, this is the problem. We're not united. Every one of us wants something different. You know, once we decide what we want, I guess we can succeed. Otherwise, we're not.
Ali, what do you think of that? I mean, I think Samir makes a good point, and I agree with, that the big problem isn't just Time Warner. It's the Arab community, the Arab world. We're so divided, we would rather fight with each other sometimes than stand together for one principle. We would fight over 50 different things.
Well, that's true. I mean, our experience between your experience and mine working with the community in Chicago, and I think that's true because we lack the civic infrastructure that would make the decision-making process much more easier and working with each other. Obviously, we cannot be united. You cannot even unite with your own wife to make one decision. That's natural. You cannot have one decision even in one family, let alone in the whole community or a whole population of the Arab world. But what is important, in my opinion, is to have mechanism through which you could work with, instruments, political instruments, organizations, that you could have a board, you could have a vote, you could have elections, and you could respect the other's opinions, and you could respect democratic principles that it's okay to be different. It's okay to have a diversity in opinion and diversity in outlook about life. And I think that's what we should strive for, is to accept diversity, to accept differences in opinion. Once we respect that, I think we'll have a totally different worldview about where is our position in this country and how we are going to empower ourselves and gain influence to improve our lot, to improve our situation. And I think that's what the Jewish community has in this country, is this huge civic infrastructure, this huge organization that has been working for 100 or more years that that caters to all the difference in opinions of the Jewish population in America. And they are united and sometimes disunited on the issue of Israel. But nevertheless, they work for the betterment of their community. And this is what should we do about our community here, to respect one another's opinions. And it's okay to have a different opinion.
Yeah, I think one last word. I think our problem as, you know, Arab community or, you know, Arab countries, I work around the letter I. Others work around the we. You know, this is a problem.
That's a good point. Listen, Samir, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. You're welcome. It just seems that you're right, Ali. It does always come back to this one point, that it really is partly our problem as an Arab and Muslim community that we don't tolerate diverse views, that we're very rigid. If you say something that I don't like, you know, in a general way, we become enemies. More enemies between us than we would against the people that hate us, you know, sometimes. And that keeps us apart.
I mean, right, if you look at the Arab world, I mean, we come from the Arab world. I mean, we're not six generations in this country. Maybe there are very few Arabs in this way compared to the Jewish experience or the Italian experience or other communities or the Irish Americans. And when they come from communities that has democratic principles or some form of democracy, it will be easier for them to work in a democratic.
Right. I agree with you, and I think that's why.
From dictatorships. Look at Assad in Syria. He's willing to kill half of the population because they disagree with him. They want democracy. Libyan Gaddafi, all the Arab dictators, Hosni Mubarak, all these. And we come from those societies, and I'm not surprised that you find in the Arab community, within the Arab populations, a lot of Gaddafis, a lot of mini Gaddafis in ourselves, a lot of mini Saddam Husseins, a lot of Hosni Mubarak, that either me on top, on top of the power. I'm the one and only dictator or nobody.
Right.
See that, those trends. So my hope is that our community changes over time with a new generation and open up our minds. I think in time we will become more open and more tolerant toward each other, at least.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears. I'll tell you what, those are important points. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go to the phone line, say hello to Jamal, who's waiting at 248-557-3300. This is Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania, your host. On with Ali Yunus, a columnist with Al Arabiya. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take your message. We'll take your calls right after these messages.
يعلم اليوم أمور كثيرة تثير قلقنا. التأمين الصحي يجب أن لا يكون أحدها. نتفهم أن الحصول على أفضل تأمين صحي وفهم تعقيداته ربما يكون مربكا مقلقا ويترك العديد من الأسئلة التي تحتاج إلى إجابة عديدة. الحل بسيط جدا، يكمن باتصال واحد من أقرب هاتف لديكم بـ هاي كاب، البرنامج المعد من قبل ولاية ميشيغان لمساعدة المستهلك. هذه الخدمة مجانية تساعدك على فهم أساسية التأمين الصحي، اختيار البرنامج الأفضل للتغطية الطبية وفهم حقوقك التي تكفلها ولاية ميشيغان في مجال الرعاية الصحية، وأيضا في أي نزاع بينك وبين شركة التأمين الحالية لديكم. باقتصاد اليوم، التأمين الصحي أكثر أهمية من أي وقت مضى لك ولعائلتك. اتصلوا بهاي كاب على 1-877-999-6442 أو عن طريق الإنترنت بالضغط على michigan.gov/highcab. توقف عن القلق، هاي كاب لديهم كل الأجابات حول التأمين الصحي الخاص بك. 877-999-6442.
This program is paid for with federal funds.
Welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. I thought we had another commercial there. I apologize. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome Jamal to Radio Ballady with Ali Yunus. Hi, Jamal.
Yeah. Good morning, Gray. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning.
What's the problem with, like usual, with this media? The media is controlled right now. The major media is controlled.
Right.
All over the world. Now, the small media or the medium media like you, like Ali Yunus, whatever, you still have a free will to say what you want until what you say start affecting something that then they'll shut you down.
Yeah, you know, that's I don't want to interrupt you, Jamal, but that's a good point. I'll tell you that's an important point. That we're only as free as we become important. And then once we become significant, that's when they're going to shut us down. The fact that we're on the air and we're yapping right now and, you know, we write and we do all this stuff and we're not in jail means that they don't think we have an impact. Don't you think, Ali, that the powers that be in the United States don't fear us? And that's because the Arab community doesn't react to us. So they think, hey, we're not being effective. So we can yap and say whatever we want because they don't care.
Well, in general, Ray, it's not only about the Arab Americans. It's about anything around the world. The media becomes an element of the power of the world. Well, just let me, you know, move to my comment and my question to Ali. Now, the money right now, the circulation of the U.S. dollar, what we call it the M1, is about $80 trillion or $70 trillion around the world. The M2, what's circulated in the hand of the people, is no more than $40-45 trillion. And the rest are locked. They lock it. They control it. They are not releasing that to circulate. That's why you don't see inflation in America or even in Europe, because they're all connected. And that's a cycle. They have no place to go. Those rich people or whoever control this money, they have nowhere other than America to stay in. Therefore, you are going to see America coming back. It may take some time, but there's no other place to go. During the World War II and World War I, they had the place to go. They locked in the money and they moved it to the new world. world, and we are all staying here, and it's going to be all right. They are losing a little bit of money.
Yep. All right.
A little bit.
All right, Jamal, thank you so much for the call. We only got a couple minutes left. You get the last word, Allie. You know, what do we make of Time Warner and Al Jazeera? Do you think eventually Al Jazeera is going to be broadcast in every American household?
I think eventually, yes, Al Jazeera, with time, they will face a lot of legal problems in Congress. There's a lot of legislation being owned by a government of Qatar. I think that's a big legal problem. It's a foreign-owned network. Whether it will have access to American audience or not, I will not be surprised if U.S. Congress acted to enact legislation to bar such a move. But again, you know, Qatar could lobby the U.S. But Qatar is a very small country, even though it's an ally. It has American bases, and it has a lot of influence in the Arab world. And that's what Americans fear, that Qatar has a lot of influence in the Arab world. As long as this influence is aligned with the United States objectives, this influence is okay. But if this influence is contrary to the U.S. objectives, such as Iran has a lot of influence, but it's anti-U.S., it's a problem. But as long as Qatar is within the U.S. Political, military, and security umbrella in the region, I think Qatar will be okay, and Al Jazeera will be okay, because it's still within this umbrella, it's still within this American objectives, American power, American interest in the Middle East and in the Arab world. And I think for those reasons alone, I think strategically in the long run, Al Jazeera will have access. And Al Jazeera will not necessarily be an Arab network. It'll be an American network with some Middle East bend to it, and that promote the government of Qatar and enhance the relation between the Gulf region, especially, and the United States, not necessarily the entire Arab world.
All right, Allie, listen, where can listeners read your column? Give us a website address where they can go.
Every Friday I have a column. Not this Friday, however, I'm off. But every Friday I have a column on alarabia.net in English. And every Monday at foreignpolicyblog.org, where my column is run on foreignpolicyblog.org, where they could read my column on the Middle East and the relation between the United States foreign policy and the Middle East.
All right. Listen, Allie Yunus, my guest, thanks for joining us for this discussion. I think the whole thing about Time Warner and Al Jazeera is an interesting topic that opens up a perspective into the challenges we face as Arabs and Muslims in the United States regarding the mainstream media. Thank you, Allie. We appreciate it. We will look for your columns. They're very enjoyable and very informative, and we appreciate you taking the time. We're going to have you on again. Thanks, Allie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was Allie Yunus. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. Our website, again, is radioballady.com. I hope you'll go there because you get a lot of information, links to my columns, links to Layla Al-Husseini's radio show Monday through Thursday, Good Morning Michigan, broadcast right here at same time, 8 o'clock Detroit time on WNZK AM 690. And also you can download the podcast of our past radio shows. You need to wake up, people. You got to stand up. You cannot complain. And if you're doing nothing, you know, you don't like the way things are, you don't like to read about the headlines, if you don't stand up and speak out and help, you know, help others get the voice out, because the media and communications are the most important things in this country and this world. It's not about our differences. It's about standing up and allowing us to discuss our differences openly in the United States media. If we can't do that, if we can't share in the debate and the discussion, if our local newspapers don't run our columns, we're being victimized. And we need to stop that. Once we do that, we can be free. And then bias and discrimination will be gone. I'm Ray Hanania. Thank you so much for joining us here at Radio Ballady. Remember our website, radioballady.com. Go there, please, and support the American Arab and Muslim community. We'll talk to you later. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Friday here at Radio Ballady and WNZK AM 690. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.